Well, good morning. And once again, welcome to the Edgemere Church of Christ. We are so glad you're here. Whether you're joining us in person or online, whether you're a member or a guest, your presence is an encouragement to the rest of us. So thank you so much for being here. If you are a guest, my name is Rusty Tugman, and I'm the interim preacher here, and I'm new also. And I have found that this group of people is a wonderful church family, and the story that Billy just shared with us is a great example of that. I think you'll find this church family to be wonderful as well, and so I hope that you'll stick around. Well, believe it or not, it is Thanksgiving week, and according to multiple surveys, here are the top 10 things that Americans are thankful for. Number 10 is actually a tie between fun experiences and achievements. And that makes sense. I mean, we like to have fun, but we also like to accomplish things, right? Number 9 is continued employment. Number 8 is when basic needs are met. We certainly don't want to take that for granted. Number 7 is faith. Number 6 is God. Number 5 is stability. Number 4 is personal freedom. Number 3, friends. Number 2, health. And number 1, family. And I'm glad to see family on there, because this Thanksgiving holiday, even if you don't like your family, be thankful for your family. All right? Well, we certainly do have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? And as Christians, we're expected to be thankful. One of the verses of Scripture that highlights this is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, where the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says this, if we can go to the next slide there. He says, "Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." In that verse, Paul is telling us that we should have an attitude of gratitude, and that worship, which is what we've been doing, that worship is one of the key components to developing and maintaining such an attitude. And you know, gratitude is good for us. There's been a lot of research done on gratitude over the years, and here's some of what the research on gratitude says. People who are more thankful tend to feel happier and show fewer signs of stress and depression. And expressing gratitude is related to greater health. So I thought about titling this sermon, "Be Thankful or Die," but I didn't do that. So the next one, if we can go to the next slide there, is expressing thankfulness strengthens friendships. Now notice the key there is expressing thankfulness. A lot of us are thankful for different people in our lives, but this is about telling them that we're thankful for them. So expressing thankfulness strengthens friendships. It also strengthens social supports and can help us make greater progress toward personal goals. And this one is really interesting. People who focus on gratitude feel more optimistic and better about life than those who don't, despite similar levels of struggle. Isn't that interesting? And so even if a person is in the same dire circumstance, if they have gratitude, they're able to deal with that in a much more positive and productive way. So once again, gratitude is good for us. And when we can learn to see gratitude as a state of thankful awareness, then what gratitude does for us is it helps us to have better relationships, it helps us to be better leaders, and it also helps us to be better Christ followers. And this morning, I want to briefly mention 4 ways in which gratitude does this. The first is that gratitude builds resilience. And as you know, this life can be difficult. And so we need resilience to be able to keep going in spite of obstacles and difficult circumstances that we have to deal with. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always. I'll say it again. "Rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In that passage, Paul assumes that we will face things that cause anxiety. And we do, don't we? We face things in this life that can cause us to be anxious and nervous and worried and concerned. And whenever we get anxious and worried and concerned, what ends up happening is the doubts that we sometimes have seem to be stronger, and we sometimes can feel like we're a prisoner to fear. And so we can have a negative attitude, a negative mindset, and that fear can tempt us to just quit. But gratitude builds resilience, because whenever we're able to pray with thanksgiving in our hearts, what we're reminded of, as Paul says, is that the Lord is near, that He's with us. And that gives us courage to keep going, even when we feel like quitting. So gratitude builds resilience, but gratitude also develops humility. If you have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn with me to the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 10 through 18. You know, humility is an important life skill, because humility allows us, or it helps us, to keep things in their proper perspective. But whenever we lose humility, we lose perspective, and when we lose perspective, we lose our sense of what life is really about and how life is supposed to work. And we have an illustration of that here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your ancestors, as it is today. That's a powerful warning that Moses is giving to the Israelites. He's saying, listen, there's going to be a time in which you will grow, your wealth will grow, you'll build fine houses, you'll have good food to eat, your herds, your livestock, your crops, all of that will grow and it will multiply. And when it does, it will test you. And it will test your ability to be grateful and to express gratitude to God. Because when we are in a season of growth, and when things are going well, there is a temptation for us to kind of look at ourselves and be proud of ourselves and say, hey, I'm doing all right. I mean, look what I've done here. Look at everything that I've built and created. And Moses says, no. No, you need to remember that this is all from God. And he says, if you forget God, then things will not go as well for you as you would like for them to. Paul picks up on this theme in Romans chapter 1, where he talks about the downward spiral that humanity has found itself in, and he says that one of the key reasons for that downward spiral is that people have forgotten to give thanks to God. And so, gratitude develops humility. Humility helps us to remember our place, that He is God, we are not. But it also helps us to remember the goodness of God that He has shown to us. And we're reminded through humility of our need for God. And so gratitude develops humility, which helps us to keep life and ourselves in proper perspective. But gratitude also creates a positive mindset. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 through 58, we read this. It says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." And I'm going to stop there for just a minute. I want you to think about that. Death and sin. Paul is highlighting these two curses, the curses of sin and death. These are our two greatest enemies. And whenever we experience sin, whenever we are surrounded by death or are reminded of the reality of death, it can feel overwhelming. So much so that we can feel that we are being held prisoner by these two curses of death and of sin. And whenever we feel like we're held prisoner, that we have no agency, that we can't overcome these things, we begin to see ourselves as a victim. And whenever we see ourselves as victims, we begin to think of ourselves negatively, and we begin to think of others negatively, and we begin to see things through a negative lens. But Paul says it doesn't have to be that way. Yes, the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but we have something to be grateful for. Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says we're not victims, we are victors because of what God has done for us through Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Notice the shift that's taken place in this passage. We can focus on sin and death and think that we're powerless, or we can focus on Christ and the power of Christ and how Christ invites us to share in His victory over sin and death. And so we don't have to be caught in this negative mindset. We can shift our mindset to a positive one that says that we are victors and we have a mission to fulfill. We've been given work to do, and so we need to do that work because of Christ. And it all comes from that one little word, thanks. But thanks be to God. Everything has changed. Thanks be to God. So gratitude develops a positive mindset so that we don't have to be stuck in negativity. And gratitude fuels evangelism. We see this in Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. I love that I will tell of your wonderful deeds, because God has wonderful deeds for us to speak about. It also reminds us of our story in God. We do have a story. Each of you has been on a journey with God, with Christ. And each of you can look back and you can see how God has brought you through difficulty, or you can see all the different things that God has provided you with, or the ways in which God has guided you. You have a story to tell. And here the psalmist is saying, we need to tell that story. And we need to sing praises to God, and that all comes from being grateful for the things of God. I love how this passage is written with those words, I will. It reminds us that this is a decision that we make, that this is something that we choose to do. I will choose to give thanks to God. I will choose to tell of his wonderful deeds. I will choose to be glad and to rejoice in God. I will choose to sing his praises. Gratitude fuels evangelism, and that's actually a mark of spiritual growth. You know, it starts with us, you know, telling others about Jesus because we're told to do that. And that's a good reason. We want to obey what God has told us to do. And so that's definitely a driving force and a good motivation for sharing Jesus with others. But hopefully what we do over time is we graduate to the point where we're telling others about Jesus out of an abundance of gratitude for Jesus. Where I'm so grateful for what Jesus has done for me, that I'm so grateful for the changes that he's made in my life, that I just can't help but tell my friends and neighbors and family about him. And so gratitude fuels evangelism. So Scripture shows us that there is power in gratitude because gratitude builds resilience. And gratitude develops humility. And gratitude creates a positive mindset. And gratitude fuels evangelism. But these things don't just happen. We have to be intentional when it comes to gratitude. And so, how can we experience the power of gratitude? How can we experience these benefits of gratitude? Well, one thing that we have to do is we have to make gratitude just a regular part of our life's rhythm. And so let me just share with you just five simple gratitude habits. You may already have some gratitude habits in your life that keep you in a state of thankful awareness. If not, here's some things that you might think about or that you might try. So one is a gratitude journal. I discovered this almost 30 years ago. I was just starting out in ministry, and so when I kind of hit my first little challenge, it was really difficult. And because of that, all I saw were problems, and I just kind of started to have a negative attitude. And I know you don't know me well, but that's not like me at all. I'm usually a pretty happy, positive guy. But I had just kind of gotten into that negative spiral, and so a friend of mine suggested that I keep a gratitude journal and that I try it for 30 days. So I committed to that. And so for 30 days, what I did is at the end of each day, I would write down three things that I was thankful for that day. And I got to tell you, there were some days where it was a challenge. I mean, I remember writing at one point, I just wrote down one thing. I said, well, I'm grateful that the sun came up, I guess. You know, have you ever been in that kind of mindset and attitude? You know, and so sometimes I had to search hard for something to be thankful for. But here's what happened over time. By doing that, when I got to about the third week of that, what I found myself doing is I was looking for things throughout the day for which I was grateful because I knew that I had to write something down in my journal that night. And so it completely changed my mindset because now I was intentionally looking for good things to be thankful for, and I was noticing more things that I had in my life to be thankful for. Sometimes we think that we just don't have anything that's going well. We don't have anything that's good. But the reality is we're just not seeing it. And so a gratitude journal is just a way to kind of develop that mindset of intentionally looking for the good. Another great one is just mealtime blessings, and I know several of you probably already do this, but just mealtime blessings, you know, obviously just saying a prayer for our food, thanking God for all the ways that he provides for us. But whenever you're just eating together as a family, or if in my case, I'm an empty nester, so it's just my wife and me. But whenever we sit down together to eat a meal, just share one thing from the day that we're thankful for. Hey, what's something that happened today that you're grateful for? It's a great opportunity to teach your kids how to have that attitude of gratitude. A gratitude walk. My wife and I, we live next to a really great trail, and we're on that trail almost every day. And I use that time to just thank God. as I'm walking, I'm just praying to him and I'm just thanking him for all the good things in my life and all the blessings that I have in my life. So just going for a gratitude walk. Even as you're walking, just, you know, naming out things that you're seeing and giving God praise and glory for his wonderful creation. You can also say, write, and pray your thank yous. So we saw that in the research on gratitude, that part of the power of gratitude and the benefit of gratitude is through expressed gratitude. And so tell people that you're thankful for them. When they do something for you, say thank you. But also you can write your thank yous. One of the things that I've been doing for years in ministry is writing thank you notes to different people. And now, you know, we don't do that as much, and so it really stands out when somebody gets a thank you note in the mail because we don't get those much anymore. So it's a great opportunity to make somebody's day. Just write a thank you note, just expressing something that they've done that you're thankful for, and then pray your thank yous. And then gratitude rituals. And so these are just little habits that you can just incorporate into your day. So I'll mention just two of mine. So you haven't seen it, but maybe some of you have, but I drive a pretty nice truck. Now the reason for that is because I inherited that from my father, who passed away several years ago. And let's just say my father liked to spend a lot more money on his vehicles than I ever have. And so this is the nicest vehicle I've ever owned. And anyway, so whenever I get into my truck, as I'm stepping up into my truck, I always do this, as I'm getting in, I just take a minute and I just say, thank you, Dad. It's just a little thing, but it helps me. It helps me to remember him, but it also helps me to not take this gift for granted and to be thankful for it. Another thing that I do is I start my morning prayer the same way every time. I always say something like this. I always say, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for the opportunities that you will bring my way to share the light and love of Jesus with others. That's how I start my day every day. It's just a little thank you ritual, but it helps me to have gratitude. And so I experience the benefits of gratitude because I'm incorporating that into the daily rhythms of my life. So you probably have some gratitude rituals or some gratitude habits. If not, you can take one of these and start to incorporate it, experiment with it. But again, gratitude is an intentional decision, but there's also a lot of power in gratitude. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. And Lord, we just thank you for who you are. You are our God. You are our King, our Deliverer, our Redeemer, our Rescuer, our Savior. And Lord, we thank you for the grace and the mercy and the love that you pour out on us each and every day. Lord, help us to never take that for granted, but to always be grateful for the ways in which you work in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes to the ways in which you are working in the world so that we can see you at work and praise you and give you thanks. Lord, I pray that you will help us to develop that attitude of gratitude, to develop a mindset that gives thanks to you and to others. Help us to be people who express our thanks. And Lord, even when we're going through difficult times, Lord, let us be grateful that you are in our lives and that you are a constant presence in our lives. And Lord, I pray that through that, the people around us will see that there is something different about us because we can still be thankful and grateful even in difficulty. And Lord, when they see that in us, help us to give you thanks and to point them to Jesus and to tell them the reason is because of what Christ has done for me. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful church family and for all the great work that's happening here. Lord, we pray that you are glorified and honored by this ministry. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to be with us, continue to help us to be a lighthouse to this community, spreading the good news about Jesus. Lord, there is power in gratitude. and we truly are thankful for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, if you have any needs that you would like to talk with some of the shepherds here about, they'll be waiting for you out in the lobby right now as we stand and sing together.
Let